Amen, and good morning. Thank you all for being here this morning. Glad to see everybody. Hope everybody has had a good week. I would like to read this card. It says to the members in the congregation, thank you for your remembering Mom at her memorial service with a beautiful plant. Mom especially enjoyed her yard work and gardening and working in the church cemetery. Bless you always. It says, during a time like this, we realize how much our friends and relatives really mean to us. Your expressions of sympathy will always be remembered. The family of Jerry Smith Fitzgerald. So that's from them. Birthdays. Ms. Cheryl's got a birthday coming up on the 29th. Since there is no 29th, we just wanted to remind everybody of that. Yeah, you wish. Jeff also says next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, I guess. Next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, if you'd like to sing in the choir for the Easter Cantata, please come and be a part of that with us. Also starting next Sunday, we will start collecting up for Annie Armstrong. And then on the 8th, which is the following Saturday, we are going to have a cleanup day starting at 8 o'clock. If you'll come and help us, we've got a bunch of stuff we need to cut up and try and get out of the way. And as always, we're going to continue to take up for Fishes and Loaves food donation, and we'll take what we've got already for this month and give it to them. And then on the 30th, of course, we'll have our fifth Sunday night sing with a fellowship right after. And if you'd like to sing that night, let Jeff know so that we can make sure everybody gets the opportunity to sing. Good to see everybody this morning. We can smile. It won't break your face. I know it's a beautiful day outside. The weather's going to be pretty. We got so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. Just the fact that we're up and moving is something we ought to be thankful for. So let's take a moment and go to the Lord and thank our Father. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, this day for this opportunity to be in your house. And we thank you, God, for watching over and protecting us. And, Lord, we especially thank you for all the blessings that you give to us, God, because I know sometimes, Lord, we don't deserve it. Sometimes we're not the servants we need to be. And, God, I pray that when we realize that we get in that kind of state, God, I pray that we would come to you and we would ask forgiveness, so that, Lord, you can continue to use us to further your ministry. I thank you for all those that are here this morning, God, and pray right now that we would take everything out of our hearts and our minds except worshiping you. Because, God, you are so good to us, and there's no reason why we should not be joyful in our, not only in our song, God, but joyful in our spirit, joyful in the way that we walk, because we serve a risen Savior, God, and we have the promise of eternal life. We pray, Lord, for our sick. We ask you to be with them and heal their bodies. As always, those traveling, God, we ask you to give them mercy and return them to us. And God, for those that have lost loved ones this week, I pray you would just hold them close to you. God, that you would bring comfort to them that only you can bring. We pray for our country. We pray for our leaders. We ask them to seek your face and your wisdom in the decisions that we make. And we ask as your people, God, that we would stand fast on the Bible and we would stand fast on your word and not let anything deter us from serving you. We pray for our first responders, our service members, wherever they are this morning. We ask you to watch over them, protect them, and thank you, God, so much for the sacrifices they and their families make. Again, Lord, be with us. Let your spirit begin to move among us and touch our hearts as we go into your service. And we ask it in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ma'am. All right, ladies. Oh.
There's some open windows in the foyer if anyone would like to have
one. Yeah, I'm sorry. The open windows for spring is out there. So take one if you would like, please.
Okay, good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Since Cheryl is 20 3/4 years old, we'll sing a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cheryl. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Okay. Hymn 410. Standing on the promises. You know what? I ain't going to make y'all stand twice, but I want you to stand for this one. We got to stand on this one. So we won't stand on offertory hymn. You got to stand. Standing on the promises. Okay.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. You can be seated. Hymn 430. There shall be showers of blessings. This will be our offertory hymn.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor your word. Showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Thank you. Be seated. prize for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,
seated. Hymn 503. This is one of my favorite hymns we're singing this morning. It just makes a sense of joy in your heart.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. Soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. What a joy for my soul, like the sea billows roar. My wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Let's sing the chorus one more time.
Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Now maybe you won't go to sleep during the sermon. After that, when I say this, I know y'all get tired of hearing this, but when I say this, that I never thought I'd be up here singing, it's the truth, because if you can believe this, I know you can't, because all y'all ain't known me all my life, but I was real shy back when I was little. And afraid to get up in front of people, and still am. But even more so, I didn't ever think that Janet would get up here and sing with me. And at first it was like pulling teeth, but now she wants to be up here with me. She's glad to be up here, ain't you?
I'm going to stand over here because light didn't strike.
All right, Lee, you get on this side. You get on this side. But I'm glad she... You know, God does something to you. when you're up here. I don't know what he does, but he does something to you. He makes you want to stand up for him. And for all those years that I missed, that I didn't do what God wanted me to do, I'm proud that I can do it now. Ain't you?
Yes.
Okay.
1, 2, 4, and 5, right?
Yeah, 1, 2, 4, and 5. Okay.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free.
Hasten to him, and that you have already hastened to him. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me back into the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we're going to read the whole chapter. Paul is talking about himself here, and he's talking about ministers, but I think this applies to all of us, because whether you believe it or not, we are all ministers of the gospel. I do it by preaching, but you do it by the way that you live each and every day. And that's why it's important that we need to study this chapter and see what Paul had to say. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Again, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and this is what he had to tell them. 2 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that are abundant, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All right, let's talk about this morning, because this, again, as I say, it's dealing with the demands of the ministry, Paul was talking about himself, but it's really what's demanded of each and every one of us as believers, all right? The ministry demands consistency. It demands that one never faint. Faint not means to give up, not to lose hope, not become discouraged, spiritless, faint-hearted, despondent, or discouraged. The minister and believers do not quit because of the greatness of the ministry. We are all called to be ministers. As I say, we all have different callings on our life, and we all do it in a different way. But whether you believe it or not, you minister the gospel to people each and every day. Because if you're a believer, people are looking at you and wanting to see why you live the way you live. I remember one time way back, me and another man, Mr. George Snyder, was my sergeant when we were in service. We were over at Bethesda, and we went out visiting. And we were visiting in a house, and this gentleman who belonged to one of our members, it was her husband, as we were sitting there, he said, "Can I offer you a beer?" And we politely said, "No, thank you." And he said, "Oh, that's right. You are a Christian, so you can't drink." I said, "No, I don't drink because I choose not to drink." See, as believers, we still have free will. We still have a choice to do what's right or to do what's wrong. Again, the things that I do to help further the ministry. And the things that I don't do is because I know people are looking at me as a minister, and what I do reflects what I say. And the same is true of each and every one of you. If you profess to be a Christian, but yet you hang around the water cooler and listen to all the dirty jokes, and you laugh at all the dirty jokes, or you condone and look at the things that are going on, and you don't say anything about them, then what kind of example are you being toward that person? The problem with the church today is we have become entertainment for people. We no longer want to preach the Word of God because it offends people. Well, let me tell you, the Word of God is meant for us to look at ourselves, examine ourselves, and see one thing and one thing only, and that is that we need Jesus Christ in our lives. And it's through Him that we can do the things that we do. It's not of ourselves. We have the ministry. The ministry refers to the great task God has given us the task of proclaiming the new covenant, the message that man can now have a glorious relationship with God through the Spirit of God. All right? Now, I was listening this morning to a couple of the pastors that were speaking, and they were, one of them was talking about the Ten Commandments and how we believe that we don't that they don't apply to us anymore. Okay, if you'll remember, Jesus said, "I did not come to condemn or to stop the law. I came to fulfill the law." The Ten Commandments are just as relevant today as they were back then. The only difference is we live under grace. And this pastor said that when it talks about the law or the things being stopped, he was talking about the ceremonial laws that the Jews observed to point them to the fact that they needed a Savior. And I believe y'all have studied Leviticus, and I'm sure y'all talked about all the little, you know, you had Passover, you had this feast, you had that feast, and you made this sacrifice, and you made that sacrifice. And all of that was to show us that we needed something to bring us back to God. Well, when Christ came and died for our sins, that part is no longer needed. We no longer have to suffer or serve, sacrifice animals for forgiveness, because our forgiveness comes through Jesus Christ, that sacrifice that was made once and forever. The message we have is to proclaim the new covenant. We now can have a relationship with God. You don't need me to go to God. You don't need to go to anybody and say, "I confess that I did this." You can go straight to the throne of God and face to face, talk with God, and thank God for all that he's done for you, and ask God for his help. Now, we have a prayer list that we add people to, but the reason we do that is because the Bible says that we are to lift each other up. And when each other, or if any of us have a burden or an illness, then we are to pray for that person. But we're to ask God to help that person. Because we know what? We can't do it. We know doctors can't do it. Now, don't get me wrong. I go to a doctor just like everybody else. Matter of fact, I got to go again tomorrow. And they can do certain things. But it's the will of God. And what God has placed in your life, and what God wants out of your life, is what makes you who you are. And that's why when we see people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they worship a God, but it's not the God. So we have a very important ministry. We should not quit because we have received mercy. God's mercy has forgiven our sins and given us a life forever with Christ. God's mercy has given him, or us, the task to be a minister and to preach the unspeakable, unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what we preach. I was listening to I think it was Joseph Youssef, and he was talking about how the church has come to the point where we no longer condemn sin. We tolerate things within our churches and on the outside. And I know what everybody's going to say. The Bible says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." I agree with that 100%. But sin is sin. And we should not condone it. We should speak against it. Because that's what we're called to do. We're not to go out there and do it in a hateful way, saying, "I'm better than you because I'm saved. Or because you do this, you have a problem." The problem they have is not what they're doing. The problem they have is not having Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to teach. Jesus Christ. When people say, "Why don't you do something? Oh, it's your religion." No, it's because I worship Jesus Christ. Because his spirit lives in me. This is his temple, not mine. When I gave my life to him, this became his body, not my body. This became his way of reaching the world. And I'm not going to do anything, or I try not to do anything, that is going to bring discredit and dishonor upon Jesus Christ, as well as this church. I don't want anybody in the community to point at the pastor and say, You are the pastor of Silver Run. Why are you doing this, 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 and this? Because that's exactly what they do. And they say, well, I'm going to go to a church where people don't condemn what I do, or people don't talk about things that I do in a negative light. That's why we have the problem of homosexuality in our churches today. That's why we have people standing behind pulpits who are living sinful lives and telling people it's okay. It's not okay. And I will say this, and you can take it any way you want to. I've had to preach sermons up here that hit me where I live. I have had to preach against sin that is going on in my family as well as others. But I'm called to preach it. And I've had to do it when my family members were sitting right here. And they heard it. And it's like I told them, I love you, but I don't condone what you're doing. Love means that I'm going to tell you when you're doing something wrong. We love our children, so we what? We tell them when they do wrong. Our wives love us, husbands. Why? Because they definitely tell us when we do something wrong. Now, if you're smart, you won't do that to her, but she's going to do that to you. And that's okay. Because every now and then, we all need to be reminded of who we are and who we serve. And believe me, my wife is quick to say, hey, remember, bud, you're a preacher. You ain't supposed to do that. And it's not her condemning me. It's her saying, hey, you've made this commitment, not to me, but to Jesus Christ, that you're going to live the way that he wants a minister to live. And that's different than how he expects you to live. But I will tell you this, he does expect you to live a righteous, holy life. Because people look at you, they look at your life, and they want to know why you do the things that you do. Paul said that we do what we do with honesty and integrity in our lives. The believer is to renounce dishonesty, the hidden things of dishonesty. The word dishonesty means shame, disgrace, scandal. The believer is to live an open and above board life, a life of honesty and integrity. Integrity is what you do when nobody is watching. Right? Honesty is something you do so that you don't get caught. If you see somebody drop some money, honesty says, you pick that money up and you give it back to that person. Why? Because somebody's watching you and you want them to know you're honest. Integrity is something you do when nobody else sees what you're doing. Integrity is when you're out in the parking lot and you pick up something or money and you carry it back to the store manager and say, somebody dropped this. Now I know what you're going to say. Well, you were caught on camera. Sometimes you are. But integrity is that thing that we need to do. And when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to proclaiming the word of God, not only for me, but for you also, integrity is what you do when nobody else is watching except God. Because God is always watching. But when people ask you, why do you do the things you do? Why do you live the way you do? It's because of God. Because I promise you, if I wanted to drink, I could drink. But I choose not to. The things that you don't do, hopefully you don't do because you know they're wrong and you choose not to do them. Because that's our free will. We choose to love God. Not because of what he gives us or because of what he does for us, although he does more than we deserve, but because of the fact that he gave his son to die for us. And if he doesn't give you anything else except that, you've got more than anybody in this world will ever have, especially if you accept it, because you've been promised an eternal life. After this world ends or your time in this world ends, you've been promised that you're going to step into eternity. And because of his blood, you're going to be allowed into heaven. Me and Laverne went to Penny's yesterday. She was going to change some shoes, and we bought I happened to buy a suit because it was on sale. But anyway, we got everything paid for, and we started to walk out the door. And as we went to the door, guess what happened? Beep, 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 beep. right? You stole something. So we went back to the counter, and I said, ma'am, it beeped. She said, yeah. Well, you know, they put those stupid things on your clothes, and she took it off my coat. And we thought, okay, we're all right now. We're going to walk on out. We got to the door, and guess what it did? Beep, 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 beep. We had to take each individual package and put it by the door to see which one had the beep, beep, beep in. It happened to be a pair of her shoes, still had it on there. Aren't you glad when you get to heaven, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about a beep, beep, beep? Because let me tell you something. If you get up there and it goes beep, 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 you got a problem. You got a big problem. It beeps because you didn't accept him. You didn't accept the sacrifice that he made. Paul said that we are not to use trickery, cunning, cleverness, shrewdness, or evil design in professing the gospel. It means a person who will do anything or use any means to get what he wants. The believer is not to handle the word of God deceitfully. What we preach has to be the word of God, not what we want. When I went to seminary, one of the things that I was taught from the very beginning, and it was hammered home more than one time, when you get behind this pulpit, you preach the word of God. This pulpit is not for you to try to bully people. It's not for you to try to lord it over people. It's for you to preach the word of God, because it's that word and his spirit that convicts you. Have you ever been in a church where a preacher gets up and he's mad at somebody, or he's got a grudge against somebody, and he's preaching down at that person? Or the exact opposite. He's not preaching the word of God because of how much he makes, and he doesn't want to lose his job. And again, let me tell you something. There are some churches that pay big money to their pastors. That should not make you to treat the word of God deceitfully. It should not make you treat the word of God or change the word of God, no matter what. Because what we're called to do is live and preach the word of God. Not only me, but you. Yes, I'm talking to myself because Paul was writing about himself. But I'm talking to each and every one of you because each and every one of you have a ministry. Each and every one of you have a ministry every day of your life. You have a ministry that you do at home with your family and your children. And your children will think that what you think is important to them. If you don't think church is important, they won't come. Now, they'll come when you make them, or they'll go when you make them. But what about when they reach that age where you can't make them do things anymore? For some of us, it's probably about 4 years old, the way we look at kids today. Because I've seen some kids at 3 or 4 years old that do some things that if I'd have done it in my day, my mom and dad would have knocked me in the next week. But their kids rule the roost because that's what their parents let them do. We are to be examples. The author of the word of God is God. All right? It's not me and it's not you. Your opinion doesn't matter. Because God's going to ask you the same question he asked in the Old Testament. Where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I made all the things or threw all the stars into heaven or made all the cattle on the hill? Where were you? Why do we think our opinion of God is so important? Why do we think that we can tell God what we want him to do, or we bargain with God about what he should do if we do? God is the author. Our job is to be a spokesman for God. We all see the press secretary of the United States get up and they parrot or mimic what the president wants them to say. They don't get up there and start going off on a tangent on what they want to say. Because what they want to say ain't important. They're speaking for who? They're speaking for the president. I speak for God. I speak what God tells me to speak via his word. Because what I have to say Doesn't matter, because I can't change your life. Sonny Serenay used to say, when I stand behind the pulpit, I'm talking what God wants me to say. When I step over here, I'm giving you my opinion. Because what's said here is important. What's said in my opinion doesn't matter. Because again, your opinion doesn't change lives. God does. We are not to add our ideas, our traditions, our philosophies, or speculations of men to the Word of God. Neither are we to take away portions of Scripture, denying that they are the Word of God. Nor are we to neglect, ignore, or keep silent about some part of God's Word. We are not to distort the Word of God in any form or fashion. We must proclaim the truth honestly, openly, and purely. Our ministry demands openness, never hiding the gospel. Paul said that the ministry is hid from men for two reasons. We are to be an open book. People should be able to expect you to be the same in the world as you are in church. And we've heard ministers get up and say, what I do out there doesn't affect me in here. Yes, it does. Because what I do out there, if it doesn't reflect who I am in here, then who am I pointing them to? It sure ain't Jesus Christ. Why should they have to listen to me if they come into church and I say, you shouldn't be a drunkard, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, because you're defiling the temple of God, but yet when I go out in public, they see me defiling the temple of God. That's why we have this problem with the word hypocrisy so much, why people look at other people in the church and say they're hypocrites. Now you will say, how can they judge me and be a hypocrite? Because they know what you say you are, but they know what you do. So you can talk all you want to. And talk is okay. But if you ain't walking the walk, they know it. You can talk the talk all you want. But they're looking at the walk. They're looking at what you do and how you do it. Two reasons that the ministry is hid from man. The gospel is hidden to men because they're lost. The word means perishing. When a person is on the road to perdition, he has turned away from God and is pointed in the opposite direction. He's traveling away from God. He is deliberately separating himself from God and severs all ties with God. Therefore, he cannot see God nor the things of God. When people choose that they want to go to hell, that's exactly where they're going to go. And no matter how much you talk to them about the Word of God, they don't want to hear. That's why we have the problem in society we have today, because too many men or too many people are not living the Word of God. It doesn't mean we shouldn't try to witness to them. It doesn't mean we should try to convert them. It means that we should tell them what God has to say. But you need to understand, if they choose to go that way, you can't change it. And believe me, I believe this with all of my heart. If you could change it, you would. Because every one of us in here has got family members that are headed the wrong way. We've got friends and people we know that are headed the wrong way. And I hope and pray that you pray for them every day, that God would touch their heart and change their life. That he would open their eyes so that they could see the truth and quit living in a lie. The second reason the gospel is hidden to men is because the Word of God, or the God of this world, rather, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. The God of this world is Satan. Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers, lest they should believe the gospel. The evilder a person becomes, the more enslaved he becomes. Satan can blind the person's mind more and more. Satan blinds the mind of a person by appealing to his fleshly desires. The more a person becomes hooked, the blinder and harder he becomes to the gospel. Jesus Christ is the image of God. When I was studying and reading over this a little bit, I saw something in there and it said this. The Bible, when it says that Satan is the God of this world, the commentary I read said, really, that word world doesn't mean world, it means ages, right? Satan is the God of this age. God has not relinquished control of the world to Satan. But man has made Satan a god. Man is the one who chose to put Satan where Satan's at today. Just as Eve was deceived and sin entered the world, if you go back and read God's word, all the way through God's word, Satan has deceived people. Even God's elect, Satan has deceived. David, a man after God's own heart, Satan blinded him by what? Lust. Earthly lust. How does Satan grab people? He makes them have or get success in earthly things because he knows that even though we say we don't, we all want earthly things. We all want those things, money, prestige, power. And the more of that that Satan gives you, the harder it is for you to see the truth about who God is. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ showed us exactly who God is. A person could look, or we can look at Jesus Christ and see exactly what God is like. Scripture teaches that Satan is a real, living person who lives in the spiritual world, the dimension of being. He is a living being who opposes God. Scripture says that Satan rules and reigns over the world only because man has chosen to let him do so. Because our churches have chosen to let him do so. Because they are more concerned about numbers than they are about souls. What good does it do for you to have a 10,000 member church if 9,000 of them are on their way to hell? Because you're preaching what they want to hear, not what God says you need to hear. Jesus called Satan several things. He said Satan is the prince of this world. Satan is the evil one from whom we must pray to be delivered. Satan is a liar and a murderer. Paul calls Satan the god of this world, the prince and power of the air. Peter calls Satan the adversary of man. John calls Satan the devil and Satan. When Satan is called the god of this world, it means that Satan's evil natures and ways rule throughout the world. The things that he uses are selfishness, pride, anger, murder, lust, greed, lies, and deception. When I ask God and pray for those that I know are going the wrong way, I always ask God to change the heart first. Because if the heart is changed, everything will change. The problem with a lot of the sin that we have in the world today is because we have become so educated that we have become stupid. And don't get me wrong, we've got a teacher sitting back there, education is a good thing. But our education has gotten to the point where it's teaching evil and not good. It's teaching Satan and the ways of the world instead of God. You know, it's ironic that the colleges that we see today, a lot of them, were founded as Christian colleges. They turned out ministers. And people who went there, even our founding fathers, had a spiritual background. Why? Because that's what was taught. If you go back, and I know they always talk about separation of church and state and this, that, and the other, but if you go back and read the Constitution and all the bills of rights and everything, everything in there reflects what? God. God is the creator. God is the one who made everybody equal, not man. But yet we have diluted that. We have diluted our colleges. We have ruined our colleges. And all we teach now is secular ideas. And unfortunately, even some of our Christian colleges are getting the same way. They're turning out pastors who are not preaching the Word of God. I remember I read somewhere at one time to go to the college up there, I believe it's in Chicago, where Dr. Moody started. You had to have a profession of faith that you were a believer in order to go to college. Now, anybody and everybody's accepted. Got a brochure, came in this week, and you should have thrown it away instead of giving it to me. Volunteers through Scientology. And I opened it up. I was just looking at it this morning, glancing at it before I threw it away. And everything in it sounded good. But it said that Scientology accepts all religions, all denominations, whether you profess God or not. What kind of faith is that? You have faith in yourself to make yourself better? Because that's what Scientology teaches. The more you learn, the better you will be. It teaches that all men are inherently good. What does the Bible say? Sure don't call us good. The Bible says we're all what? Evil. And I've used this example, and I'll use it again. You don't have to teach a child how to be bad. You have to teach him how to be good. And a child learns at an early age how to manipulate to get what he wants. As babies, they do it by crying, right? I don't know. I've got a great-grandson now, and we go over and watch him every now and then. And he cries, and my granddaughter said, I don't understand why he's crying. I'm doing everything. I fed him. He's got clean clothes. I'm holding him. Why is he crying? Because he knows that's his way of getting you to do what he wants you to do. You're the one that has to teach him. You can't do that. When we were at First Fort Polk, we were trying to teach our girls to go to bed by themselves. And Jamie was already doing that, but Tara didn't. So we put her in a room, and we closed the door. You know, we kissed her and prayed and everything. She knew we loved her. We closed the door, and we went and sat in the living room. And Tara got right there at the door, laid down, and started crying. And, buddy, let me tell you, it was hard not to get up and go in there because we love her. And, I had to beat my wife to keep her from going because, buddy, she was ready. And that's a fight, let me tell you. Trying to keep a mama away from a baby, that's a fight. No matter what you think, whether it's human or animal, you get between a mother and her baby, you got a problem. But we let her cry until she cried herself to sleep. And then, bless her heart, when Laverne went to go in there to see her, she had a hard time opening the door because she was sleeping right there at the door. That's heartbreaking. But we did it out of love. The things that we go through, and that was another thing that Paul was talking about. He's talking about because of the fact that he was converted, it demands that we preach and teach Christ and that we not serve man. It means that we are convicted to do what is right. Conversion is said to be such a dramatic experience as it is best described as light breaking through the overcoming darkness. Conversion is wrought by God. It is God himself who shines in our hearts and converts us to seek the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the knowledge of that glory in Jesus Christ that Jesus teaches us and shows us the image of God. I can't remember the name of the song, but I'm sure y'all know it. Mary, when you've kissed this baby or when you've looked at this baby, Mary, do you know? See, I told y'all knew. When she was holding that baby, you know what? She was looking at the face of God. Can you imagine that? That's what Jesus Christ was showing us, God's love. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen God. What I tell you to do is what God, my Father, has instructed that you need to do. And if you have that conversion experience, if God has come into you, you have that light in your life, and it needs to shine. I believe it's over in Matthew where it says, you don't hide a candle under a bushel basket. We light a candle to do what? To illuminate. Well, if you're a born-again believer, we need to be illuminating God to the world. And unfortunately, we're not. Some of us hide the candle. Some of us, the candle's gone out. Some of us, the candle may have never, ever been lit. God is the one who changes people. God is the one who saves people. And the only way we can do that is by proclaiming his word. That his son is the one who lived a sinless life. His son was the one who died on Calvary for our sins. And it's through his son that we are acceptable to God the Father. Paul closes with this, and I'm going to close with this. Paul talks about the problems that are associated with being a minister or a believer. Sometimes you get perplexed. You just don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. Sometimes you get kicked and you fall down. Sometimes the world throws everything it can at you. Paul said we should never give up. When we falter, when we fail, we need to get on our knees. We need to ask God for forgiveness. And we need to get back up and go about what God's business is. When one of your children falls down, you reach down to pick that child up and you dust them off. And back in our day, they said, go on. You know, as long as you're not bleeding, it's okay. You'll live. Today, they don't do that. But we did in our day. God's the same way with us. Whenever we fall down, whenever we feel like the world is so great on our shoulders that we just can't do anything else, we have one hope, and that's Jesus Christ. And it's him who says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you while you walk on this earth. I'm going to take care of you while you minister. I'm not going to stop everything from happening to you, good or bad, because there are lessons in life that we learn. We see how good God is on the one hand when things are going right. But you know what? We see God's love more when we falter and something's wrong. When we're on the mountaintop, we think we're already there. We've achieved it all. But I tell you what, buddy, the minute you get in that valley, you get on them knees. The minute you get in that valley, who do you go to? You go to God. And you say, God, here I am. And God will say, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to dust you off. Go on, you okay? And when it's time, God will say, you know what? It's time for you to come home. And we, like Paul, need to be able to say, you know what? I've run a good race. I've fought a good fight. I've done all that God's asked me to do. How about you? Are you doing all God's asked you to do? Are you being the minister in this community that you need to be? I sure hope so. If not, today's the day you need to come and get it right. Let's close. Our Father God, thank you, Lord, again for this day to be in your house. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for everybody that's here. And Lord, we need to understand that being a minister, not only a pastor, but being a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ is a very big deal, a very important thing. And God, we need to remember the responsibility that you've laid upon us, that you trusted us enough as these earthly vessels who decay, who fall apart. You've put in us a treasure in your Son, Jesus Christ, that will take care of this vessel until the time is for this vessel to go home. God, let us show the world who Jesus Christ is by living the way Jesus wants us to live, the way you ask us to live. Let's put the ways of the world behind us, God, because we know they're going to go away. We know that what's here today can be gone tomorrow. You can have all the wealth in the world today and be a pauper tomorrow. But God, if we have your Son in our heart and his blood has washed us white as snow, we have the one thing nobody here can take away from us, and that's the promise of eternal life. Just as you raised your Son up those thousands of years ago, God, when our time comes, you're going to raise us up. Those that sit in the graveyard now, God, who were believers who know you, on that day, God, they'll be the first to rise to meet you, and then we which are alive will be caught up to meet you. God, how we look forward to that day. And God, how we thank you that you're long-suffering enough to give us one more chance, one more opportunity to witness to somebody. And God, when that opportunity comes, I pray we take it and use it because, God, you still are in the life-changing business, and I thank you so much for that. If there's one here today, God, whose life needs to be changed, I pray that today would be the day, that they would not find peace or rest until they accept you and let your Son bring that light into their life that they need. And Lord, for those of us who profess to be Christians, I pray, God, that we're letting our light shine. That when people look at us, they say, there goes a Christian. There goes somebody who's not going to go with this, not going to do that, who doesn't believe in this because of who they worship and who's inside them. Because your spirit lives in each and every one of us who's accepted you. So God, let us show that spirit to the world, because Satan has blinded a lot of eyes. And you're the only one that's going to open those eyes when you change those hearts. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.